We're going to talk about mustard seed faith today, though, of you. Can you all see that? Well, when you get one out of the bottle, it's a really small. It's about 1/10 the size of a BB. So it's really small. Many of you probably never congratulated me today, but I'm a proud grandpa of four little baby birds this last week. Amen. I was down around there Tuesday. I was mowing and doing stuff, and two of them, and they always hatched, like two are bigger than, did the same thing last year, two are bigger than the others, and then two were still in the little nest hatched, and the other two were running around. It's like a cotton ball with pipe cleaners coming around. So, they don't take after me. Well, I guess I'm the cotton ball part. I guess maybe, yeah, they did take after me. Yeah, that's good. But anyway, hopefully they're good. The mom took them off, and dad, there. I haven't seen them for a while, so hopefully they're okay. But anyway, we're going to talk about mustard seed faith today. And that's what that little seed is I have right here. And to be honest, I don't think I've ever talked about mustard seed faith in all my years of being in ministry for whatever reason. At least I can't remember it. But, you know, to me, faith is like a seed, you know, and it needs to grow in our life because, you know, faith is very important. Now, as many of you probably found out in life, that seeds only benefit us when we put them to work. A seed in your pocket's going to do you no good. That seed has to be put in a place, the right place, so that seed can grow. So you got to keep that in mind a little bit. Now, the mistake that we make is thinking like this here, the size of the seed, you know, defines the harvest. But these little mustard seeds, you know, they produce a pretty good little harvest. And, you know, harvest also is based on the type of soil, as well as the growing conditions. Because you can have the best seed, but you don't have very good soil, you're still not going to get a harvest. So you got to make sure your soil's good, don't you? Soil's very important. So you got to really guard your soil. And it's our responsibility to control the growing conditions of your heart. Because that's where it's very important. That's why the Bible says continually in many places that we need to guard our heart. And you need to do whatever you can because that is where faith, you know, grows in our life. Now, we're going to look at a couple scriptures of Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. First, I'm going to read from the New American Standard. Then I'm going to look at the Amplified, okay? So New American Standard first, it says, Jesus was talking here. And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. That's awesome, isn't it? That's quite the deal. Now, in Amplified, it says, he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, that is, your lack of firmly relying trust, for truly I say to you, if you have faith that is living, like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move here to the yonder place, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the power of your Spirit just working here today. We thank you for miracle-working power. We thank you for faith rising up inside of each and every one of us to be able to overcome every obstacle the devil brings our way. Lord, I thank you for words that both pierce and penetrate and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. And Lord, I thank you also for just stirring up the gift you put in me. And I want to use it for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I just want to do a disclaimer just starting off. What we're talking about here is we have to have faith in a faithful God and not faith in your faith. Okay? Because sometimes we can misunderstand, you know, when we talk about faith that we get all worked up and yeah, it is a fact that we need to build our faith, we need to grow our faith, we need to do all these things. But nevertheless, you know, we always remember that it's faith in a faithful God. That's really we've got to place our faith in. So we don't want to get an attitude or cop an attitude thinking that, oh, we're all this and all that, you know. We need to walk humbly with our God and make sure we flow with Him. Okay, so mustard seed faith. Mustard seed faith. You know, it says here, you know, that Jesus criticized his disciples. I'm not criticizing. It was a tough love is what it was. You know, how would you like Jesus to tell you, well, you just got a little faith. You don't have enough faith. I don't know about you, it'd be a little slap in the face, wouldn't it? Kind of deflates you a little bit. But sometimes we need that tough love to make us dig a little deeper, doesn't it? Makes us help us to learn. Because little faith won't move mountains. Just the way it is. Little faith will not move a mountain, it says here. So we need to make sure that we have bigger faith. Now, this context of this story is what happened is that the disciples were doing ministry. Jesus anointed them and sent them out and gave them authority and power. And they were praying for people and some were healed. They were, you know, casting out some demons, but they ran across one here that just wouldn't comply. And so they couldn't cast this demon out of this kid. And it was kind of probably a humbling experience a little bit. You know, being the man of faith and power that all of them probably thought they were. They walked up to something and they couldn't handle it. And every now and then, people were going to have that happen. And that's why we need to walk humbly with our God. Don't take it personal. Learn from our failings and try to, you know, pick up and go on. But Jesus came and then he dealt with the situation, you know, and he cast that demon out. But through this, you know, like I mentioned, he gave him a little bit of tough love because we need tough love. We can't just pander kids and everybody all the time, can we? You know, if you don't help them to grow and learn through life, they're never going to mature. So Jesus told them, hey, you guys just got little faith. That's why you couldn't handle this demon. Because, you know, you need to have faith. And then he used something. He used illustrations a lot. And all the disciples knew about a mustard seed. And this one here, I didn't drop it. But anyway, this thing is so small. And he compared it that if you have just enough faith, the size of a mustard seed, you could have cast that demon out. And I'm sure that just kind of went, what? You know, I got that much faith, surely I do. I quit my job, I followed you. But yet, nevertheless, they didn't have a deep trust in the situation. You know, sometimes when we get into situations, you know, that's well over our head and, you know, that's what happens in life. And really, that's where we need to go sometimes. That's how we kind of grow and learn. You know, I'm sure they got into this situation. They didn't, you know, maybe process it properly or whatever the case was. And, you know, the demon wouldn't comply. And I'm sure when the demon wouldn't comply with their situation, and, you know, I don't know if you've ever been around a situation where you've cast out a demon before, but it's kind of an intense time sometimes, a little bit different. You know, when you feel the power of darkness try to come, and then the power of light just, bam, go. And sometimes they don't want to comply. They just try to hang on. But that's okay, because we know that greater is he that's in us, amen? Now, the benefit between us and them, we're born again. They weren't born again yet. So we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. So we should never, you know, for lack of a better, I'm not telling us to go out there and stir up a bunch of trouble, but we should never walk back down from this sort of situation because we are fully equipped with everything that we need to be able to handle casting out a demon if the need arises. Now, the only thing what I found out, you know, is Jesus, when he used the mustard seed, that was an object lesson. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. The only thing worse than limited faith is limiting faith. And I'm going to break that down a little bit. You know, limited faith is where your faith, you know, isn't really developed yet. You're just growing. You're a baby Christian. And, you know, you might be 20 years in the faith and still be a baby Christian. I hope that's not the case. But, you know, you need to grow. You need to allow, you know, Jesus Christ to do his work inside of us. Now, the only thing worse than having limited faith is limiting faith. I want you to think about that. Limiting faith. Because limiting faith is how we look at things. See, limited faith, you know, like I said, it hasn't been developed, still has a chance to grow. But limiting faith is far worse because it has faith in the wrong thing. Okay? And that's what happens to us sometimes as we grow through life or go through life. Because we run across situations and circumstances that affect the way we process information, especially when it comes to putting it through the filter of God's Word. Amen? Because we're going to walk across some things that don't line up with God's Word. And so it's up to us to be able to figure that situation out and to bring it through. Now, what happens with is limiting faith, it is moved by circumstances rather than what the Word says. Okay. You pray to be healed, and you're not healed at that time. So your faith is greater in the not healing part than it is the healing part. Why? Because you can feel that. You can feel that in your body. So you have greater faith in that. And that's where limiting faith comes into our life. Because when we start to believe the lie is the truth, we're never going to grab a hold of the truth. Amen? And, you know, this is the kind of thing we need to kind of cipher through. And it's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it, right? Come on now. But not everybody's doing it. Not everybody's wanting to, you know, try to grow and to be able to fight the good fight of faith. They just kind of play what's dealt. I don't know about you, but I want a new deck of cards. Amen. I just don't want to play what the devil gives me. You know, I want a little different deal. So what happened with the disciples, I'm sure they said, in the name of Jesus, go. And the demon didn't go. So they saw the demon bigger than their God. Because the demon had more power, they thought. Now that's limiting faith. When you appraise or look at the situation from the wrong perspective, then that's what gets us in trouble. And that's what holds us back really from getting to the place, you know, really where God wants us to be. God wants us to go from glory to glory. And to do that, we're going to have to learn how to handle some of these things. Now, some benefits of why Jesus picked a little mustard seed, I guess what I've always have recognized with a seed is that a mustard seed does not have any identity issues. It knows what it is. And that's simple as that. I know it sounds real simple, but a mustard seed, when you put it in the ground, it's not going to grow corn, not going to grow beans, it's going to grow mustard. I like mustard. I don't know about you, I love mustard. I mean, I don't love it, but I like it a lot on certain things. So, you know, it knows what it's supposed to do. And we live in a culture today that is under fire because there's so many people that have identity issues. They're just being so confused and going through life just all messed up, and they just can't figure it out. And, you know, the Word of God tells us exactly who we are and what we have. But we miss out on that, and we start thinking, you know, they start thinking about how culture has tried to influence us and how things have come into our lives and to make us think wrong. And it really messes things up. See, the world system has, especially a lot of our young people, so messed up in this identity issue that they don't know if they're coming or going. Amen. And that's a mess. And I'll tell you what, we need to speak up, we need to speak out, we need to do what we need to do to correct this situation. Because if not, you know, more people are going to be lost. And it's an unfortunate thing. And we need to do our part in the kingdom of God. Secondly, a mustard seed knows its purpose. Now, a mustard seed, that's very simple. You know, its purpose is twofold, and it's very simple. And everything that you do, every seed that you sow in life, you know, now we're different now because we go to the store and buy our seed. You know, if you're going to put a garden in, most people don't keep seed from last year. But when I was a kid, a lot of times we kept our seed. You know, when we grew something, we would keep that seed. Why? If you ate your seed, you'd never have something to sow next year, and then you would starve. Simple as that. So a seed's purpose is twofold. It's harvest and increase, okay? Harvest and increase. That's what seed does, and that's what faith wants to bring into our life, is that we receive harvest and increase. See, you'll never have harvest or increase first unless you sow. You got to sow first. You know, just like in anything in life, if you don't go to work, well, it's not totally necessary. But if you don't go to work, you don't get a paycheck. Now, I know that's not totally true because some people, you know how to do something else. But anyway, you know, for the most part, you have to do something to get something. That's just the way it works. The law of sowing and reaping is the most powerful law on our planet for the most part. It's been set in motion for years. It was talked about in the book of Genesis, and that's just the way it is. It's supposed to keep carrying on and keep going on. And the thing that God wants us to understand is that we need to flow with that and not flow against that. So a mustard seed knows its purpose and lets harvest the increase. Unless you sow, you won't get it. Now, a mustard seed has been pre-programmed by God to bring increase. You know, it doesn't work. Now, if you sow one seed and get one seed back, you're not gonna make it in life. That's just the way it is. You're either going to starve or you're not going to have nothing to sow. But God, in His infinite wisdom, pre-programmed seeds that when you put a seed in a ground, it multiplies more. So you have two things. You have your harvest, which you eat. Then you have the increase, which you keep to sow or to give to somebody else. That's just how it works. And it works like that, especially as we come into the kingdom of God and we start to understand the principles of faith. You know, we want to grow in faith so we can grow the kingdom of God, but we want to also grow in faith because we can help take the chains off of other people, can't we? You know, if you have greater faith, you can handle greater problems. Amen? Simple as that. Greater faith handles greater problems. And as, you know, I don't know about you, but if you get tired of walking away from a problem and it's not solved, then we got to figure out, what can I do different? What can I do to maybe turn this situation around? And I'll be honest with you, it takes experience. You know, as I've gotten older, as I look back, I've learned some things along the way that where I am now is a product of what I had to endure earlier, okay? Some of it was great, some of it wasn't so great. But through that process of learning, now I'm in a better place than where I was before. So don't get discouraged. You know, give yourself time to grow. You know, maybe you've missed it somewhere along the line. Hey, just get back up, dust yourself off, and let's get on with the situation, amen? And God wants us to keep progressing in the things that we have. So faith will bring harvest and increase, and like I said, harvest is to maintain us, and increase is for growing the kingdom of God. That's what we need to do. We need to grow in that. Now, you could just get born again. You could ask Jesus Christ in your heart and, you know, not have to go to hell anymore and just go on and never do anything else. And that's unfortunate. You know, but we need to think about the kingdom of God. You know, other devilish religions are trying to multiply. You know, they're trying to grow, and some of them are trying to take over the planet militarily and things like this. You know, we don't, as Christians, we don't fight with guns for the most part. Now, if you're in the army, you have to. But for the most part, we don't go over and into a village or into another town and ransack that town and steal captives away, do we? No. We try to preach the gospel, the good news, and want to see them come out of darkness into the light. So Christianity is different than a lot of these. I know it's made some mistakes back in the day, you know, some things, but for the most part, How we grow is through evangelization as we reach out, you know, to a lost and dying world. Okay, now, what this is talking about when it talks about this, you know, this mustard seed of faith, it was talking about mountain-moving faith. Now, mountain-moving faith is where we need to go to, okay? We need to get to that place. And, you know, you probably all have seen a mountain in your life, correct? You've probably seen how big they are and things like that. Jesus used this as a visual aid to help his followers and hopefully help us. You know, obstacles, I want us to see this. Obstacles are a part of life, and our level of faith depicts how we will deal with them. We'll either move them, go through them, or go around them. And it's all about where you're at with God. Okay? Now, when we're starting to learn and we're starting to grow in the things of God, there's a lot of mountains we end up going around. That's just the way it is, you know, because we don't have the ability, has not been developed in us to either go through that or to go or make it move, okay? And that's fine. But when you get sick of walking around that mountain, come see the Word, amen? You know, when you're tired of just settling for that, well, then there's the next step. And that is sometimes we'll go through a situation. And that's tough. It is hard. But through that situation and dealing with that mountain, we're being refined, okay? As we continually hold on to the Word and we continue to hold on to the truth of God, of what He says and what we believe it's saying to us, and we're going through that situation, you can either walk away or you can keep on going. But as we keep on going, that's when we keep on growing. Amen. That's when we keep on growing And we start to develop that faith till we get to the place where we all want to get to, where we walk up to that mountain, we say, "Be gone in the name of Jesus." Amen? And that mountain goes. Because you and I will always have an obstacle in our life. There's always obstacles. There's always something somewhere that's in our way from trying to get us to where we need to be. And we need to learn that it's by faith that we deal with those situations. Because remember, what we need to see is that what we want is just on the other side of that mountain. Okay? That's what we need to focus on. Don't focus on how big your problem is. Focus on what's on the other side of that mountain, and that's where I need to get to. Amen? So don't let nothing deter you or nothing detain you from getting to the other side of where God wants you to be, okay? Because that mountain will discourage you. It'll make you look the wrong way. Now, our destiny lies on the other side of the mountain, and we need to do whatever it takes to get to the other side of that mountain. Because that's where God wants us to find what it is that we need to do. So that's dealing with a mountain, because we have those. Now I want to deal with something else. I want to talk about going through the valley faith. Because there is going to be some valleys. And I wish there wasn't so, but it's so. There is valleys. Psalms 23, verse 4, it says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Okay? So God also, as well as mountain moving faith, we need to have going through the valley faith. Because in our walk with God, there's going to be situations and circumstances that come that we head down into the valley. And those valleys do come. You're going to, you know, get discouraged. You're going to lose a loved one. You're not going to maybe understand why things are happening the way they are. And as you go through that valley, we need to understand a few things. You know, write this down. If not, go out and buy a pencil. Amen. What we do in the down times is very important. What do we do in the down times? Okay? Because those are the times when we are really being refined. It's like the silversmith. He heats up the silver. And, you know, to us, to the naked eye, some of that silver looks okay. But the more heat's applied, the more ugliness comes out. And that ugliness can be wiped away. And then you have a pure, refined piece of silver left over. And see, God allows us to go through the valleys. And it's through them valley experiences that sometimes the ugliness is revealed. You know, because, you know, you're going to be hit. You're going to be, you know, maybe knocked off your game a little bit, a little off balance. And you're going to maybe say something or do something that you wish you wouldn't have done. You just got to learn that ugliness come out. It's been revealed to you. Just wipe it away through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Whether it be fear, the Bible says when you go in that valley, you're not supposed to be afraid. I know we get afraid, but he says, don't be afraid. Why? Because Jesus is there with you in the valley. He will never leave you. He's the good shepherd. And there's a couple promises that he gives there. He says, "My rod and my staff, they comfort you." Okay, the rod was to beat back the wolf, beat back the bear, beat back the lion, whatever it was. Whatever thing that is attacking you, that's what the rod's for. You know, you don't use the rod on the sheep. You use the rod on the thing attacking the sheep. Amen? We got to remember that. And then the staff, I picture that little thing that looks like that. Well, that's for two things. You know, it's for guidance. You know, the little shepherd could guide the sheep, because sheep, sometimes we do stupid stuff, right? He would try to guide them and keep them away from danger. And every now and then danger happens. You know, the little sheep would fall in a hole, a little bit of crevice, get caught in a ditch. You know, and I saw something real funny on YouTube. It was kind of like that. I think it was a sheep. Somebody took a staff and they pulled that sheep out of the ditch. It ran 50 feet farther and fell right back in the same ditch. You know, but that little hook there, the shepherd could reach down and pull that sheep out of a crevice where it had been lodged. And see, that's what comfort that you and I have, is that we follow the good shepherd. And see, we also need to remember, you know, that the valley is not our destination. Now, sometimes it feels like we lived there longer than we should. But see, the valley's not our destination. Like I said before, at the mountain, our destination's on the other side of the valley. See, the Bible says, when I go through the valley of shadow of death. The Bible doesn't say, when you change your address to the valley of the shadow of death. Do not put your address, their mailing address, or wherever you want to get in, you know, in that valley. You're going through it. It's just the process. It's just part of life. That's just the way it is. You know, wish it wasn't so, but it is. And, you know, but as we understand these principles and these concepts, then we can go through the valley. Sometimes the valley lasts longer than it should. And that usually happens when we get stuck. And that's when we cry out to Jesus and let him hook us and bring us out. Amen? Because that's what we need to do, is come out of that. Now, we've looked at mustard seed faith, mountain moving faith, and going through the valley of faith that we need. So as we do that, you know, that fear we need to deal with. Now I want to get to this. This is found in the last part of Matthew 17:20. We're not going to look back to that. Hopefully you have that memorized by now. Amen. Or just looked at. Anyway, I'm going to look at all things are possible faith. Praise God. All things are possible faith. And that's where we want to be. That's the sweet spot. You know what I'm saying? When you get to that sweet spot, you know, I think about a baseball bat. You know, if you let the ball, or maybe not let it, you actually go after it. But when somebody throws you a ball, they pitch it to you, and you hit the sweet spot, that ball will go farther than it would if you didn't hit the sweet spot. I still remember that time Jason and I, he borrowed a bat one time. That was back when we did slow pitch. And these guys let us borrow their bat. And it was a good bat. It was one of those high-priced bats. It was not a Pentecostal bat. It was one of those other big denominational bats, you know. Anyway, we had that bat. And each of us, you know, I think it's the only time we did it out there at the complex, but we hit the ball. And we hit it far enough to go to the basketball court. Well, they took the bat away after the game. They wouldn't let us use that bat no more. And, you know, but that the bat was, I mean, we could hit the ball, but that bat made the difference. And when you hit that sweet spot with that bat, that old ball just went to flying. And see, that's what we want to do with our faith, is we want to make sure that we hit that sweet spot and we get that all things are possible faith. See, all things are possible faith is the kind of faith that works in the valley as well works on the mountain. It's universal faith. It goes everywhere with you. And it doesn't matter what goes on in life. It doesn't matter the situation or circumstances. It doesn't matter if it's 90 degrees or 10 degrees. It's the kind of faith that's going to work. It doesn't matter what the devil throws at you. And see, that's the kind of faith that we need to get to, because this is the kind of faith that you and I need to learn how to look beyond the natural and start to see the supernatural. We look beyond the circumstances and we start to see the answer. We can look past the mountain or past the valley, and we can see the destination of where God wants us to be. And Jesus said, we need to see it before you get it, in Mark 11. And we never went into that passage through this series here. But, you know, if you believe what you say will come to pass, you know, Jesus said, I mean, some people don't like that. You know, oh, you can't have what, you know. But the Bible says it. I'm sorry. Now, you know, you shouldn't go after things you shouldn't have. But, I mean, if you're, you know, if you're praying for things that are needed, I'm all for it. Believe you receive when you pray, praise God. You know, and start to see those things. You know, I'm starting to wanting to see some, you know, more souls come into the kingdom. I'm wanting to see more people helped that don't have food to eat. You know, those are worthy prayers, people. But we need to believe that we see them. So, faith looks beyond the natural. Now, to do it, I'm going to wrap up with this, is the idea of having focused faith. Okay? Our faith needs to be focused. You can see all through Scripture when, you know, when people took their eyes off Jesus, that's when problems happen. You know, Peter did something nobody's done. He's walked on water. You know, people give Peter a hard time sometimes because he's sunk a little bit. You know, I mean, has anybody ever sunk a little bit? I know I have. You know, I've sunk a little bit every now and then. But, you know, he said, Jesus, if that's you, bid me come. What was Jesus going to do? Lie? That's not me. No, Jesus said, come. So Peter stepped out and started walking on water. Well, then he took his eyes off of Jesus and started looking how big the waves were. And see, he lost his focus. And that's what we need to learn. If we can stay focused, you won't fail. You won't fail. Because focus is very important. The power to be able to concentrate on the right thing at the right time is very important. And here's what it does. It does the three D's. You know, focused faith helps us deal with distractions, okay? You know, Peter had the distraction of the water. We all have distractions. You know, distractions are a part of life. And, you know, like we looked at, I believe it was last week, how Satan is the master of misdirection, isn't he? You know, he'll try to get us looking at the wrong thing and we miss out on the right thing. And so we need to learn how to deal with those distractions. And that just comes by, you know, learning to keep your eyes on Jesus. It doesn't matter, you know, what the doctor may say, what different things may say. You know, those things are important. We need to heed to those. But for the most part, we just keep our eyes on what the Word says. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Amen. So we keep our eye on that. And we deal with those distractions, those things that try to get us to think about the wrong thing. Because, you know, if we allow those things to come in, then we're going to miss out. Number two, after distraction hits, kind of get disoriented. I don't know if you ever got disoriented a little bit. You know, here's what happens. Satan usually doesn't just mess with this with one little thing. Usually comes in and he kind of waits and then he orchestrates maybe three or four things to hit us all within a short period of time. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, you're getting hit from this direction, then you're getting hit from this direction, you're getting hit from that direction, and you don't know if you're on foot or horseback sometimes. You know what I mean? You know, you're just disoriented. And that's even worse than distraction, because when we get disoriented, that's when we can run the risk of getting over to limiting faith, the kind of faith that limits us, okay? So you got to be aware of that. And all these are fixable situations. And that's why we need to come together. That's why you need to, you know, be a part of a local body in a church. And you need to have people you can come and talk to and pray with and, you know, get back on track. Because I'll tell you what, you know, these things do happen. And that's why we need to stay close to other people. And so they can help us. You know, but I want to make sure, disclaimer, you want to stay close to people of like precious faith. People who believe the same way you do. Amen? Then lastly, which is kind of frustrating, is we have to deal with delay. There's delay sometimes. Okay? Have you guys ever said amen and then it never came quite right then? You know? Amen, there it is. I mean, sometimes it happens like that, sometimes it don't. So what do you do in those times of delay? When you're waiting. You know? You just keep feeding your faith. You stay focused on the answer. Because delay is part of the walk sometimes. It doesn't happen as fast as we want. You know, we're impatient. Like I said, I used to live in Denver and there's stoplights everywhere. Well, we have, what, 4 stoplights in town? And 2 of them are on blink so you don't have to wait. I go that direction. You know, I don't wait. Usually I don't go to the one you got to, you know, hit the green or you got to wait. I go over the other one because I can easily stop for a second and go. You know, I don't know. I'm not really impatient by nature. When it comes, I can wait in the things of faith, but when it comes to waiting in line for a car, I don't like that. I just take the easier way. You know, but delay is part of our Christian walk and how we deal with that. Okay, so whether it is mountains in our way or valleys we must go through, faith in God is the only way to go, okay? There is no other option, and we need to grab a hold of that. Let's pray. Father, we honor you today. We thank you, Lord, so much for the precious Holy Spirit to be here in our midst today. We thank you, Lord, that you're a life-changing God, that you desire for all men and women to come to you. But to do that, we first must humble ourselves and say, I'm not right. I'm not where I need to be. You heard me talking about being born again and how important it is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, it's not just coming into a building that gives you that relationship. That's a start. But what comes is you have to come with your heart open. You have to feel that conviction that you know that, you know, you're not where you need to be. So if you've never been born again, or if you have maybe been saved or born again, but you know you need to recommit or reconsecrate your life, I want to give you that opportunity. Would you just lift up your hand right now if you would like to get back to the place where you need to be? I don't want anybody leaving today. Amen. Amen.